my name's Ian Burney. I'm the great-grandson of William Butterworth. William Butterworth was one of 11 brothers and sisters born to James and Agnes Butterworth, who lived in Bulk, Lancaster. They lived, I would guess, a fairly challenging lifestyle in a small two-up, two-down residence in Green Street in Lancaster, working at the local matting mill. One of the youngest children, David, was working as a draper's assistant, according to the census in 1911. Just ordinary people trying to survive the 20th century. William joined the regular army and served in India and in South Africa during the Boer War. His brothers at that time were still ordinary civilians. They were working in Albion Mill, the coconut matting mill in Lancaster, as it was then. Great-granddad, according to my granddad, was a very militaristic character. He took no nonsense from anybody, and he did as you were told.
So he served in the Boer War, had, you know, experiences around the world, eventually came back, went back to the matting mill. War broke out yet again on a scale that nobody had ever seen before.
He was a reservist at the time, so was literally amongst the first to be called up. War declared on the 4th of August. The diary of the Yorks and Lancs regiment that he was a member of calls him up on the 5th of August. He sets off, he goes to, I think it was Catterick, Limerick, Saint-Nazaire, and by mid-August he's in Belgium digging trenches. Interestingly, my grandfather, his surname is Clegg, because he was born out of wedlock. So William was clearly attached to Margaret Alice Clegg at the time. She lived in Lancaster, down by where B&Q is now. They had a relationship. Grandad was born. We have one of the letters that William wrote to Margaret in December, Christmas Eve, December 1913, expressing his love for her and how he wanted to put things right. And I can only assume that that meant that they would get married, because February 1914, they were married. During that period from February to August, when he disappears to war, something happens, because in February the following year, my Auntie Beatie, as we used to call her, Beatrice, was born. Now, William would never have met her.
War was declared in 1914, and it wasn't just William that went to the war effort.
The other brothers, there were six. So if we go through them, we've got William, Hugh, Christopher, James, John, and David. They are the six brothers. David didn't go to war. We don't know why he didn't go to war. I can only surmise that he was excused war duty because he was the only one left. William and his other three brothers were killed. We had James, who was suffering, who was wounded. Who else would bring any money in to support Mother Agnes and the four sisters? I'm hoping that's the reason, because I can't see David not wanting to go, because everybody else had and would have kind of been expected to, I guess.
We'll concentrate on William for now. He was the eldest of those brothers. He went to war notoriously in 1914, in that summer and autumn. It was fierce fighting. So what was William's story when he was deployed?
The first duties when they got were to dig fire trenches. He was involved at the front, literally digging the trenches where people were shooting other people. He wasn't there very long, unfortunately. He gets there in early September, spends a few weeks digging the trenches, and then early October, on the 19th of October, which was, I think, a Sunday, a weekend, the Yorks and Lancs regiment, which was what he was attached to, he was lost in action, presumed killed, basically had been out there about 6-8 weeks. So his time in France and Belgium was extremely short, as he was one of the first to go.
Great-great-grandmother Agnes, she would have received a letter,
yes,
saying that he was missing. It must have been hard for her.
For her and for the brothers and sisters, I guess, as well, because William was a professional private soldier. He'd been away, he'd come back. Soldiers fought in the Boer War, came back. But I don't think there was an expectation that perhaps he would be lost so quickly. This war was going to be over by Christmas. The Kaiser said you'll be home before the leaves fall from the trees. Well, it wasn't like that. And when William went, his mother must have been devastated. But there was an enormous impact on his father as well, as more brothers were lost up to 1915. James Butterworth died. Father died, according to the local newspaper, of a broken heart. We can begin to understand how this works now with post-traumatic stress disorder. People had no counselling. You received a letter or a telegram stating that the loved one had gone. That was it. Get on with your life. You were expected to continue to pick up the pieces and continue with your life as if nothing has happened.
Then after William, it was yet another letter and another letter.
That's
through.
Right.
What was the order and the circumstances of the following deaths?
That's right. In May 1915, they lose Christopher, who was also married to Margaret and had a son. He was aged 23. Then they lose Hugh, who died in August 1915. And then James, the father, dies in August 1916 of a broken heart, or debility, as they called it at the time. Very clearly, though, I think, brought on by mourning his sons. And then they lose John in June 1917, who dies at age 34. And he served and died at home, so he's buried in Lancaster.
He came home and did die of his wounds. So he has got a grave, as has Hugh. Christopher is remembered on the Menin Gate. William has a memorial at Plugstiert Memorial in Belgium.
What must have the family have gone through to, you know, losing not just one son, but four sons? The pain must have been immeasurable. And like you said, the father died of a broken heart.
And Agnes, of course, has to keep going in his absence. She loses her husband, she loses four of her sons. Two of them are also badly wounded. So one of the ways, I think, of understanding the First World War is to think what every day must have been like, waking up with that dread and fear and the joy when someone could come home on leave or you would see them. But the other thing that's really poignant about this story is how it gives us access into the stories that are going on in thousands of homes. So, for example, Christopher, who dies on the 8th of May in 1915, that's the worst month for Lancaster losses, and that's the worst day for Lancaster losses. So there are 67 names on the war memorial here in Lancaster that died in May, and there are 19 who died on the 8th of May. So those are 19 letters that came out of the battles in France and Belgium. So these family stories and the way that families kept going and the amount of grit it would have taken to get up every day and keep going with this kind of news, and the impact it must have had on society. Bulk gives a huge number of their sons and brothers and lovers to the war. What was it like when neighbours are mourning? And there's a mixture, I think, of how grief is such an intensely personal experience, but it's also happening on a collective basis, and whether there's comfort in that or whether...
And how does Mrs. Jones equate her loss of one son to Mrs. Butterworth's loss of perhaps two or three or four now?
And of course, at the unveiling, they prioritise those mothers who have lost more than one son. So they've lost three or four of the mothers who are asked to unveil the panels at Lancaster's War Memorial. This isn't a hierarchy of suffering. No. There aren't numbers of
there's
grief.
There's no scale of measurement. There's no Richter scale of loss that can give any kind of comparison for anything like this at all. Agnes Butterworth, who was one of the mothers who unveiled it, it was her son. She's four names on the war memorial. The photographs of Agnes show what I can best describe as a very determined person.
Agnes lived a long, long time after she unveiled the war memorial in 1924.
I think she lived till 1934 and was, as I say, buried in Farmoor Cemetery. Margaret Butterworth, William Butterworth's wife, continued to live at Albion Street for the next 50-odd years. I used to visit great-grandma there.
The fascinating twist about this story, if you like, is that it's not yet finished. It's still ongoing. And in 2009, you had, well, what could be a very drastic revelation.
It was particularly strange for us personally, because my wife and I were watching the 6 o'clock news one evening, and an item came on that in Bourg-en-Ligny in France, the remains of 15 World War I Tommies had been unearthed. These remains were being sent to the Commonwealth War Graves mortuary, and more news would follow. That was 2009. This year, 2014, there was an article in the Lancaster Guardian that was pointed out to me by my sister. Are you related to Private William Butterworth 8175? And yes, we are. What's this all about? The Ministry of Defence have been undertaking research and are taking DNA samples of prospective Tommies who were lost over that weekend in 1914. The soldiers will receive a full military burial on the 22nd of October, which we are intending to attend. They deserve that. Whoever they were, they could have been great-granddad's comrades, could be great-granddad, could be a friend from down the road. But this is an opportunity for us just to say thank you.
And it's quite eerie and spooky in a way, the date of it.
The date of it is within 3 days, 100 years on, when he was lost in action. It's uncanny. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that we can't afford to let slip by. And it's one reason for people today to try to continue to connect in real terms with their past. Without people like my great-granddad and his brothers and all the other people who went to do this, we won't be having this conversation.
We're going to head out to go and look at where they lived. Mm-hmm. And the war memorial is just actually down the road from where we're sat right now. The names are on that war memorial, and they've been bracketed with the word brothers. But also, there's another family relative just above them.
There is. Doing this research, I discovered that my paternal great-uncle, Thomas Edward Askew, was also a victim, a casualty of the First World War. He was lost in October 1918, weeks away from the whole thing coming to a conclusion. I think he was 22, from memory. His letters home to my grandma, chastising them for not saying thank you for the birthday presents he'd sent them, are lovely to read. What is deeply moving is to read the letter which was sent back to his mum and dad when he was lost, which was written by the battalion chaplain, who, as far as counselling advice is concerned, simply gives them one line: remember, God does not make mistakes. They're expected to deal with their loss with that one sentence. And that really sums up what people had to do: get on with their lives.